Hello and welcome to the programme which looks at the Holy Land. I am Paul Calvert. Psalm 80 verse 1 from the New King James Bible says this: Restore us, O God of hosts, cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved.
I'm with Brian Sanders from Why Stand With Israel. Now, Brian, what is Why Stand With Israel?
Well, thank you, Paul, for having me on your podcast, your program. Why Stand With Israel is a film series to educate and inspire the global church to live out their biblical responsibility to stand with Israel. And so we do that many ways. First of all, we are true to the Bible. We point our audience back to Scripture, back to God's heart, because that's where it all began. And that's why Israel is here today, because of God and all the miracles and his love and promises and covenants that he has made forever since he called them mine. And so our intent is to point the global church back to God's heart, why he stands with them, why he made an everlasting covenant with them. And we also defunct and refute a lot of lies and misconceptions about Israel and the Jewish people that have been going on for, I guess, I would say maybe centuries, a lot of misconceptions. And even some of the things that you're seeing today, all the anti-Semitism that's on the rise, whether it's on the college campuses or it's with international councils like the United Nations or the EU or Amnesty International, or the diabolical agenda of the BDS, the boycott, divestment, sanctions movement that wants to attack Israel's economy. And so, you know, we want to just get the global church. Our heart is for the global church, truly stand with the apple of God's eye. And we have a survey in our film from Lifeway Research that shares just how much the majority of the church isn't standing with Israel. And we hope to point them back to the Scriptures and share God's heart, that they will see God's heart on display in our film. And see, I would think that would be enough for them to possibly to stand with Israel, because if it's important to God and he loves them, he chose them, and he stands with them, then we, and as Christians, need to stand with them as well.
Why did you want to do a film like this?
Well, several reasons. There's a thing called replacement theology. You probably heard of it, and probably your audience has as well. But for some that don't know what replacement theology is, it's this notion that the church believes that God replaced his covenantal people, his first betrothed bride, the Jewish people, and the nation of Israel with the church. And that couldn't be any further from the truth, from God's word and God's heart. You know, in Numbers 23:19, it says that God is not a man that should lie or change his mind. So if God said it, if God made a covenant with his people and land, then we need to stand with it. We don't need to sway from that. We don't need to change it up. And a little testimony, Paul, is that I came out of replacement theology, and I didn't even know what it was until a friend graciously shared that with me. In 2013, I was working for a Christian ministry called the Christian Broadcasting Network, and I still help them from time to time. And we were walking in the old city after, you know, filming President Obama's only visit there. And we just had a nice, cordial, you know, theological debate. And he shared with me, you might have some replacement theology. And I didn't even know what that was. And I said to myself, and even asked the Lord, did I take God's word out of context? Did I add or subtract from God's word? Did I speak in error of Scripture? And then when I shared this with the Lord, he clearly showed me that what that meant, and that I know I did say that and thought that way. And some of the circles that I was in, the Christian circles and churches at the time, I was at a charismatic Pentecostal church. And I'm not saying that all charismatic and Pentecostal churches believe this, but the one I was at the time, I knew I had that mindset and said those words that we're the new chosen people. We are the new Israel. And, you know, I think we also based it on Scripture where the Lord says that they are stiff-necked. And, you know, Romans 11, Apostle Paul says, as much as we have been grafted in, that's the Gentile church has been grafted in, he says, I can regraft them in, and that you don't support the root supports you. And so I found myself at that time, I wasn't alone. I realized after talking to other believers and even going to other churches, and even stumbling on an incredible survey that Lifeway Research gave us on how much the majority of the church isn't standing with Israel, that this is something that's been prevalent in the global church for centuries. And so if God makes an everlasting covenant with his people on land, that's forever. Deuteronomy 7:9 says that his promises and his mercies are for 1,000 generations to those who keep his commandments and love him. And the Jewish people and the nation of Israel certainly do. And he's made this everlasting covenant with them and the land, and it's forever. It stands forever. And so our heart is to share the truth of why God chose his beloved people and land that he calls mine with the global church. And hopefully we can eradicate any replacement theology or anti-Semitism within the church that's still prevalent today, and that they would be inspired and to boldly stand with God's people and his land, especially in a time like this with Israel at war and all of its enemies coming against them. And it's not just physical, but, you know, on the world stage, you know, we have the United Nations, the EU, Amnesty International, and the BDS movement. They're all coming after Israel. You know, at the end of the day, if the church doesn't stand with Israel, who's going to stand with them? I mean, they will always have the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob stand with them because of the covenants he'd made with them. But as a people group, you know, the global church, we're called to stand with them. We have been grafted into this family of God with them. And I just pray that the church would see God's heart and display why he did that, why he sent his son, because you can't clearly grasp God's full redemption plan without including the Jewish people and the nation of Israel. And so that's our heart and our prayer, that the global church will fully see God's heart and display and why he loves this beloved people and nation, that he has these loving endearment nicknames that he gives to no other people group or nation than the Jewish people and the nation of Israel. He calls them the apple of his eye, his treasured possession. It is clear, Paul, in scripture from Genesis to Revelation and the entire Bible, how much he stands with Israel, because he talks about no other nation more in his word in the Bible than the nation of Israel approximately 2,400 times. And we share this fact in our film and others that we hope that the church would be inspired and they'd be encouraged to see that God truly loves his people, and he's going to stand with them to the test of time forever. And that's what his covenants are. They're the eternal, they're everlasting, and he's a God that doesn't break his covenants or promises, nor does he change his mind.
How long has it taken you to make this film?
Well, that's a great question. It wasn't just a few years. It was 8.5 years. If you were to tell me 8.5 years ago that our film would be released during a time when Israel was at war, when anti-Semitism is probably at an all-time high since the Holocaust, when you have international councils that have daily for years and maybe decades and centuries trying to delegitimize Israel on the world stage, and even more so today, and you see nations coming against Israel, you see nation leaders, even including our nation, that's, you know, kind of, you know, there's on one end, they're saying, we're going to support you. And then now they're supporting their enemies. And they're also holding back munitions to support Israel in this war. And, you know, I don't know if I'd believe you say it's going to take 8.5 years, but we know God's timing is perfect. You know, when I said yes to this project, he gave me a scripture, and it was in 1 Samuel 15:22. That says, obedience is better than sacrifice, than to heed the fat of rams. And every year I would ask the Lord, is this the year it's going to come out? And he'd always say, do you trust me? And, you know, 2018, Israel celebrated its 70th anniversary. And same answer, he'd say, do you trust me? And I would say, how about now? Lord, it's last year was Israel's 75th anniversary. Great time for it to come out. Not that you need any help. And, you know, there's a saying out there, if you want to test God's sense of humor, just tell him your plans. And, you know, he'd always say the same thing. Do you trust me? And then he would remind me of the scripture he gave me when I said yes to this project. And that's what he requires from all of his people. It's not just me and look at me and what we're doing, but he requires obedience for all of his children, you know, and just that we can rest on all the promises and the faithfulness that he has, that's been recorded in scripture. And even today that we hear of of testimonies from people how God has blessed and impacted their lives. And he's still doing that. He's a faithful God. And he stands with his promises eternally, ever, forever. And we even see his faithfulness on display, Paul, when Iran attacked Israel over a month ago, when they sent their ballistic missiles and their drones. And what did God do? What did the God of Abraham, Isaac do? He fulfilled the promises in his word that he is faithful to the apple of his eye, his treasured possession. There was minimal damage. Barely anything happened in Israel. No casualties. There was someone got some shrapnel from, I guess, from one of the bombings there, but minimal damage. That person is recovering well. And this is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is the God of Israel, who says that I am faithful and you're the apple of my eye. And he who touches you touches the apple of my eye, it says in Zechariah 2:8 and Deuteronomy 32:10. And so this is God. This is who he is. He is faithful to fulfill his promises. And I believe the world saw that on stage when that happened over a month ago.
Mm. Did you have a premiere for the video?
Yes. Thanks for asking. When I said yes to this project 8.5 years ago, the Lord said, you will have a world premiere in Jerusalem. And at the time, Paul, I said, Lord, only you could do that. I mean, how amazing. We're doing a film on Israel. And he said, you will have a world premiere in the capital of Israel, the eternal capital of the world, as it says in Isaiah 2:2-3. It says, the law shall go forth from Zion and the word from Jerusalem. This is where Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, is coming back to. And this is where he's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years in his millennial kingdom, and where all the nations will be subject to him, and everything will come out of Jerusalem and from Zion. And so we were blessed and fortunate to see that fulfilled, this world premiere that the Lord promised me 8.5 years ago on May 28th. In Jerusalem, at the first day of the Jerusalem prayer breakfast, which was the world premiere, was screened at the Friends of Zion Museum. And so it was a little bittersweet, Paul. I got a little emotional believing, like, I can't believe this day is upon us. You know, what God said he was going to do, he did again. He fulfills all his promises. He's faithful to his word and his covenants. And we've gotten a lot of great reviews from the screenings we had in Israel and from the media as well. We've had about 14 screenings here in the United States, 5 in Israel, and all have had positive, great reviews. And, you know, I just give God all the glory because of it, because it's his film. After all, it is his film, and he wants the bride of Christ to be standing with his first betrothed bride, the Jewish people and the nation of Israel. And I think in this hour, it's needed. And again, I couldn't have planned this. This is truly a God thing. He planned all this for this film to come out for such a time as this.
How successful has the film been? And have you had an opportunity to travel to promote it?
Yes. Well, we're seeing the impact in the church. We're hearing from pastors and others saying, there are some things I never even knew about, you know, what you talked about in the film, about the church's history. You know, we talk about some of the church fathers like Martin Luther. We talk about St. Augustine and St. John Chrysostom and some others. And it's not a film to condemn the church, but it's to educate and inspire them to live out their biblical responsibility to stand with Israel. And so some of these church fathers that we call were very anti-Semitic. And some of the things they said were really just downright horrific, the things they would say, that the synagogues are worse than a brothel. And we all know what Constantine did and some of the edicts that he put out with Christians marrying Jews and some other things, that how he would condemn and persecute the Jewish people. And I think when I see how maybe a majority of the church isn't standing with Israel, I look at it as, well, there's several things. It could be because of tradition, of what we've maybe been taught, anti-Semitism that is blatantly in your face today. It's unbelievable where it's on the college campuses. And it's also the maybe what the mainstream media is saying. You know, if the Bible is our standard and our biblical worldview has precedence over anything else, we shouldn't be swayed with what the mainstream media is putting out. And I think, unfortunately, that's sometimes might sway our biblical worldview if we say we love God and we love his word, but if we say we're not, we don't know about where we stand with the Jewish people and the nation of Israel, well, that means our biblical worldview isn't lining up with God's heart and his scriptures. And so Genesis 12:3 is abundantly clear. This is the Lord saying, I will bless thee who blesses, I'll bless you who blesses thee. And whoever curses you, I will curse. And through you, all the nations on the earth or families in the earth, in some versions say, you will be blessed. And so it's pretty simple what God is saying here, but he's adamantly clear in what he's trying to share with his people. When you bless Israel and his people, you will be blessed. On the other side of the coin, you'll be obviously cursed, it says. Now, that could also mean your actions and what you say, anything that you say that might curse the Jewish people in the nation of Israel, or maybe you just don't agree with maybe what Scripture says, and you're maybe aligning yourself with another narrative that is being pushed out there of how Israel is treating the Palestinians, or maybe you're saying they are an occupier or an apartheid state, and that wouldn't be standing with God's word. But we also talk about that in the film, that we defunct and refute these lies that Israel isn't an occupier. They're not an apartheid state. So we share all these things, and we also talk about how Israel, even before October 7th happened, they've been supplying Gaza and the Palestinian areas with water, electricity. So, I mean, the narrative out there that you might hear in the mainstream media is all negative, and it talks about Israel being this apartheid state, an occupier of the land, and their treatment to the Palestinians and Arabs. And we have Christian Arabs in our film that talk about that is not true. They have lived in Israel for an eyewitness of what they've seen and experienced. That is a false narrative that's being pushed out by the mainstream media. And, you know, unfortunately, sometimes that has crept in the church because they just don't know, because all they see in Israel or in the Middle East is that they're always at war. There's always contention. But you have to look at it from this way. I mean, this is the most contested piece of real estate in the world, and that's the city of Jerusalem. You have the three major religions there. You have Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, all vying for this piece of land. And the land, that capital, and this is the land that God gave to his people. It's actually his land, but he gave it to a certain people group, and he gave it to the Jewish people. And so that's what we want to convey. We defunct all these lies biblically, historically, and geopolitically. So if you don't believe that God gave them the land, what happened in history with the British Mandate of Palestine, the Balfour Declaration, the UN Partition Plan, you know, where all the nations came together and casted a vote in favor, 33 voted yes for favor for the Jewish people to have their own national homeland, 13 said no, and 10 abstained. So if you don't believe God gave them the land from the scriptures and the promises he made with his people land, what happened in history? But we know today that they're trying to manipulate that and eradicate history, even that we even hear in the media that the education systems, I know in the States, I can't say that for around the world, but trying to say that the Holocaust never happened. It doesn't exist. It didn't happen. So where did 6 million people vanish off the face of the earth? I mean, this is the diabolical agenda that we all face today, what's going on in the world. And you know, when it comes to Israel, the apple of God's eye and his treasured possession, as believers, as Christians, you know, there really shouldn't be a debate. There shouldn't be a question. There shouldn't be any skepticism, but unfortunately there is. But we have God's word as our blueprint. If God said it and God made a promise or an everlasting covenant with them, and he says, you will be my people and I will be your God and this is my land, then it's undebatable from there. We should take God for at his word, and we should stand with the people and land he stands with that made an everlasting covenant with. So that's what we try to present. And we pray that they will truly see God's heart and love on display for these beloved people and land that he says is mine.
Is the church divided in the U.S. on the subject of Israel? And are many believers getting sucked into the pro-Palestinian narrative?
You know, I believe so, and we're seeing that in that survey, as I shared earlier. It's in the beginning of our film that Lifeway Research blessed us with, and the numbers are staggering, Paul. I mean, to hear how Israel is not even being taught in the churches and where they stand, the church stands or Christians stand, that they don't believe the land belongs to the Jewish people or that they are an occupier and things like that. I believe the church is divided. And the sad thing is, you know, when we look back in history, we look at what happened in the Holocaust, the church, the global church overall was silent. And, you know, there were a few people, one by the name of Bonhoeffer, that stood up. But there, for the most part, a majority of the church was silent. And we're kind of still seeing that today. After October 7th, most of the church, I'm not saying all of the church, but a majority of the church, were still going about their daily programs on Sunday, or they're having church services like nothing happened. I mean, we have been grafted in to God's family with the Jewish people based on Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah. That is the only reason why we're grafted into this family of God and this redemption plan. And that when a family member is hurting or they're suffering or they've been brutally, barbarically attacked and they're constantly being delegitimized on the world stage, then, you know, they're constantly being threatened, constantly being attacked on college campuses. The narrative is so negative against the Jewish people and the nation of Israel. We see that in the news and how the global media twists the narrative. And you know, you've probably heard the term fake news. And, well, they're pushing their own agenda. This is not even news anymore. It's their own propaganda. And so I think with all of that happening, much of the church that maybe not might not be like truly standing with God's word or not followers, you know, of the word or get into the word that much, their narrative could easily be changed, you know, from what they're hearing in the mainstream media that may have superseded their biblical worldview. And it's, we have to do a better job in the church, I believe. And again, I'm not here to condemn the church. And I say that for myself or the, you know, your listeners that are tuning in. We that say we love God, we love his word, we need to stand and love what God stands and loves for, loves. And that's the Jewish people, the nation of Israel. I mean, this is the only nation on planet Earth that God sent his only son to. He didn't send him to New York, LA, London, Paris, or Rome, or Florida, or Texas, or he sent him to one place, and that's Israel. And that's where he's coming back. You know, for the most part in the church, when we hear sermons on Israel, we hear that Jesus, Yeshua, was born there. He performed miracles. He died. He rose from the dead, and he's coming back. But we really don't hear many sermons on why God chose these people, the beloved people, his Jewish people, and the nation of Israel, out of all the people groups and all the nations on planet Earth. But mostly, we don't hear much about why Israel. Israel is comparable in size to the state of New Jersey, where I originally hail from. I live in North Texas right now, North Dallas. But, you know, why don't we hear more about where it all began, where the foundation of our faith was established, where our heritage began, and where it's all going to end, and that's Israel. This is where God started it, and this is where it's going to end. And how come we don't know much more about that? And why don't we put it on our bucket list to go there? And why don't we bless the people that he made this everlasting covenant with, that we have been grafted in? Why don't we know more about them? And another thing I like to say, we share in our film is, you know, we love God, we love his son, he's our savior, he's our Messiah, but Jesus wasn't a Christian, he was fully Jewish. And, you know, that might ruffle some feathers, but, you know, his last name isn't Christ, it's a title, and his Hebraic equivalent is the Messiah, which means the anointed one, the Holy One of Israel. And so Father God sent his only son to Israel, and when we say that we love God, we love his word, but we're not sure where we stand with the Jewish people. Well, I just want to encourage you that when you say that, you're saying that about Jesus' brothers and sisters, his neighbors, his family. You know, he even said, I come to the lost house of not Palestine, not the United States, not the UK. I come to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And he even said that salvation comes from the Jews. He was talking about himself. He was fully Jewish. He honored and celebrated all of his father's feasts in Leviticus 23, and he honored the Mosaic covenant. And so, and he's from the seed of Jesse and David, the son of David, the son of Joseph, the son of, he's the son of man. I mean, all that in the lineage They're all Jews. They're all Jewish people. And the Jewish people, they actually gave us the word of God. They wrote the Bible. So I just think that, you know, if the church is riding the fence on where they stand with Israel and the Jewish people, we need to take some of these things in consideration. I mean, it's clear in scripture how much God loves the Jewish people, the nation of Israel. And I think it's really, well, not I think, it really should be not for debate if we should stand with Israel or not.
We're seeing a rise in anti-Semitism. Will this video help combat anti-Semitism?
I believe so, because we debunk some of the lies, myths, and misconceptions. We clearly point out what the UN has been doing. They've been very anti-Semitic. We see it a lot in the news today, but they've been anti-Semitic for decades. And then you see what the EU is doing. And all Amnesty International, gosh, and the boycott, divestment, sanctions, they are clearly anti-Semitic. And so we pray the things that we share in this film will combat that. We believe it will. We call it out. We have charts. We have a resolution list that's been put out by the UN, and it shows how anti-Semitic they are. And we look at it as, you have this chart that shows all these nations that are being condemned that are causing a genocide or barbarically, you know, taking rights from their people. And then you see all these resolutions that Israel has. Now, with Russia, Syria, China, North Korea, and Iran combined, doesn't even come close to the resolutions that Israel has been given. Israel has 15 resolutions against them, condemning them. For what? I mean, because they're being a light unto the nations, they're fulfilling what scripture says about them. They practice and live out their motto of tikkun olam, to better improve the world. They are constantly defending themselves for the attacks on the world stage and even on their people and land based on what happened on October 7th. And their technology and the ingenuity coming out of Israel, that drip irrigation that is helping solve third world countries' economies, and deserts are blooming because of that. So that's helping not only their economy, their agriculture, and it's being a blessing. They're being what they're called to be in scripture, a light unto the nation. So we see this dichotomy, not only in the global media, we see it in international councils on the world stage, how they're always condemning Israel. And to me, that you can call it the BDS one day, tomorrow will be something else. But the bottom line, Paul, is what it really is just anti-Semitism. We're seeing it blatantly in your face on college campuses, and that's what it is. You can put a lipstick on a pig and call it something else, but it's, at the end of the day, it's still anti-Semitism. And I think for a people group that, you know, that loves God and has been grafted in with them, we can't be silent anymore. We were silent during the Holocaust, and we were still silent after October 7th. Some of the church is waking up and they're standing with them. But, you know, we, as watchmen on the wall, you know, we have to draw the line in the sand and say, you can't do that to God's people. You can't do that to my Jewish brothers and sisters. You can't do that to Yeshua, Jesus's brothers and sisters, his neighbors, his family. And that's where we need to draw a line in the sand. And as watchmen on the wall, we need to raise our voice more in this hour.
Where can people get a copy of the video? And what is your contact details? Are you on Facebook?
Yes, we are. Thanks for asking. Yeah. Well, they can simply go to our website, whystandwithisrael.com. We have a digital download available in English right now. We're in the process of trying to translate it in multiple languages, because the church, who is our target audience, the global church, is not the American Western English-speaking church. It's multiple languages. It's all the languages. It's for everyone. And so our goal is to get into the hands of the global church, meaning that we still need to raise support to get it translated in all languages. But right now, we have a digital download available on our website in English, but we will have DVDs available in a few weeks. And they can, to find out any more news or big announcements and to follow us, because it's not just a one and done film. It's actually a film series. When I went to wrap up our filming in April 2023, I had about 5 or 6 films planned, or what I thought the Lord wanted me to do. And toward the end of that trip, the Lord extended it to about 12 or 13. And so it's a film series, and we put all of our updates on our Facebook page, our Why Stand With Israel Facebook page, and we will do more updates on our website as well. But they can also, if they want to personally contact me, they can do it through our Facebook page. They want to contact me on anything, or they can even email me at brian@whystandwithisrael.com. And again, our website, if they want a partner or they want to buy a digital download, they can simply do that at whystandwithisrael.com.
Thank you very much for sharing today.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me. Really enjoyed it. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you for joining us today. Pray that God will move by his mighty power in the Holy Land and bring his peace.